Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back in on the drive. Pop quiz today presented by Victory Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Captain America was the pop quiz. Spec tells me that Steve Rogers was injected on this day and has been saving the world ever since. But we have some breaking news. Today, for your Kansas City Royals, Raul Mondesi is playing shortstop for the Royals. Alcides Escobar is playing center field and batting seventh for your Kansas City Royals. The lineup goes as follows. Whit Merrifield, Herrera, Mike Moustakas, Perez, Dozier, Gordon, Escobar in center field today. Paulo Orlando, DH, Raul Mondesi playing short, and Danny Duffy on the mound today.
I think this is the move. That's the move that gets him over the top.
The streak is over for Alcides Escobar. He is playing center field today for your Kansas City Royals. Sports Machine, I'll kick it to you first. I've been talking a lot about this week. I'd be very curious to see how he performs in center field today. What do you make of Alcides Escobar basically changing positions?
Yeah, the mix-up.
I mean, basically, he is changing positions.
Yeah, there's no basic about it. It's official now, playing center field. I think it'll work fine. I think that in the last couple of years, when the Royals were really, really good, we know how they did it, right? With the bullpen and with a pretty good offense and all that stuff. The starting line, a rotation was okay, but they had the best defense of all time. And Alcides Escobar, shortstop, was part of that. But again, that was 3 or 4 years ago. At this point, he's a little older. He's a little longer in the tooth. Mondesi's coming up, plays the same position. So it was a move that had to be made.
Right now, we'll head to the phone line for the breaking news. Oddly enough, they waited until we had our Royals insider to come on the show. Josh Vernier. Vern, how you doing, man?
I'm well. What's going on?
Doing fantastic. I'll get to our normal first question here momentarily, but what do you make of the breaking news? Alcides Escobar playing center field for the Royals today.
Yeah, I mean, A, it's a small ballpark in Houston. B, you have to give Mondesi reps at shortstop. I think this has more to do with Mondesi than it does Alcides Escobar. And with the way this Royals pitching staff has been performing, it doesn't really matter who's watching home runs sail over their head in center field.
Right now we're talking to Josh Vernier on the drive. My biggest question, and we talked to Jamie Quirk about it. We talked to Rex Hudler about it. Do you have any questions about his ability to transition to a position? He has seemingly never played before, and even when the examples they were making about him being an outfielder, I mean, they were from 2010. It's been a long time since Alcides Escobar has played outfield in the major leagues.
Yeah, I mean, there might be concern. I don't know if concern's ever the word with a team like this. Right? I mean, when you're 30 games below 500, why be concerned about much? Maybe there would be some concern if he was playing center field at Kauffman Stadium, the cavernous Kauffman Stadium. But no, I'm not too worried about him manning center field in Houston. And it's not as if he's their everyday center fielder from here on out. I would imagine he won't play center field when they play at Kauffman Stadium. This is just a way to mix Edelberto Mondesi in there at shortstop.
And what is your current, I guess, expectation, or what do you hope to get out of Mondesi with this move happening? How much better do you think it makes the Royals, and does it make them better right away?
Well, what I'm hoping to see is that he focuses, Mondesi that is, yeah, focuses more on the fundamentals. To me, he gets way too lackadaisical in the field, relies on his natural talent. I hate to call it laziness, but I don't know what other word to use. Instead of, you know, fundamentally breaking down and having that solid base when collecting a ground ball and then making a nice, simple throw to first base, he kind of nonchalantly, you know, one gloves it down to the ground and a nice, cool-looking flip to first base. If you're going to be playing shortstop every day at the big league level, you got to make all the fundamental plays and then a few of the spectacular ones. I know he can make the spectacular plays, but what I'm curious to see from Mondesi is, can he make every routine play? Because when Askew was winning his Gold Glove, when the Royals were winning games consistently, Escobar made the fundamental play every single time. That's what I want to see from Mondesi.
Vern, I just want to know why his bat is so important to keep in the lineup. Because it's like we're now treating him like he's Whit Merrifield, where if Whit can't play second base, we need his bat in the lineup. We'll put him somewhere else. Like, why is this team so against giving Eske a day off?
I mean, they have the proper amount of respect for a guy that has done what a guy like Eske has done for this organization. That, I think, is first and foremost. And then, B, who's he holding back right now? You know, when you look at that lineup tonight, you know, Paulo's still playing. Rosell Herrera is still in the lineup. I don't think there has much other than the respect that they have for Eske and the fact that there's no one pushing him, demanding more time. Now, if Jorge Bonifacio is with this team and Jorge Soler happened to be healthy, no, I don't think we're seeing Eske in center field tonight. It's likely an outfield of, you know, Soler, Bonifacio, and Gordon, or Soler, Bonifacio, and Herrera, with Gordon serving as the DH. The Soler injury and the horse pills taken by Bonifacio have allowed Alcides Escobar to make a start tonight in center field.
Verma, we're talking a little bit of Eske. This is a little bit off the wall here, but just first thought, do you think this guy ends up in the Royals Hall of Fame?
Eske?
Yeah.
I guess. I mean, he's going to be top 10 in, you know, a handful of, you know, games played, at-bats, stolen bases, runs scored. I think he is. It'll also be a nice way to sell tickets to that Hall of Fame induction. You can bring him back to the ballpark in that 2025 season.
And his inside the park home run, I'd say, was one of the more memorable moments of that entire run.
Yeah, without question. And, you know, the Eske magic and everything that goes into it, man, you guys all know this, if you're a part of a championship team, man, you can do no wrong, and a large majority of those players are going to end up in whatever team's Hall of Fame. You know, these Houston Astros the Royals are facing tonight, most of these guys, whether they were the superstar on the team or, you know, the 20th man on the team, most of them will make the Houston Astro Hall of Fame because they brought a title to H-Town.
Vern, it's always good talking to you. I mean, this team should break news right before you come on every Friday.
I love it. Thanks, guys.
That's our guy, Josh Vern, your Royals insider. Always happy to have him on. If you missed the breaking news today, Raul Mondesi is playing shortstop for the Kansas City Royals. Alcides Escobar is playing center field for the Kansas City Royals. Someone on the text line says the streak isn't over, still a consecutive start. I'm not necessarily as worried about that part. Now, I wouldn't like him to play center field, but as long as they have moved out of the way for him to play another position and to put who you think is the future of a position on the field, to me, the streak is over. The streak is I have started every game at shortstop. I don't think he's going to play 4, 5, 6 games a week at center field. But as long as they're at least starting the process of moving him out of the way, and we'll see what happens after the trade deadline's over, and they're going to play Adalberto Mondesi, Raul Mondesi, every single day at shortstop, and they are working towards that, I'm perfectly fine with it. So if they're going to maybe spin it to themselves of, we're going to step out of the way a little bit, let Mondesi play center field, let him play shortstop, and we'll let Alcides Escobar play a couple other positions, but we're going to free up shortstop. That's really what this move, and that's really what the streak was about, moving him out of the way of shortstop.
Certainly. And I like what Vern said, it doesn't really matter who's in center field watching the home runs fly over the fence. I don't think it matters if Mondesi's playing shortstop, if he's playing third, if Escobar's selling cotton candy or taking tickets. This team right now is 30 games below 500. Quick thought, just because I asked him the question about the Royals Hall of Fame. Eske, to me, is the only one from that entire run that I think you'd get. The fans are always going to say, yeah, put him in, why not? But I think maybe once the Royals brass starts to make that decision, there's going to be a little bit of pullback, because if you go around the horn and you think about pretty much every other position, Haas for sure, Moose for sure ends up in the Royals Hall of Fame, Salvi absolutely, Alex Gordon, probably Lorenzo Cain, every member of HDH. I'm probably forgetting a couple of other guys. So he's going to be an interesting case study once that finally does come up.
Coming up on the other side, you brought today. I mean, I would say worse than Are You Smarter Than a Sports
oh,
Machine,
come on
which
now.
Is really bad.
Come on.
You came today, and you and Spector were having a little argument, and I gave my input. You have created your starting five of fictional basketball players, and this is one of the most ragtag, put together with duct tape and bubblegum collection of players I've ever seen before in my entire life. I'll let Levine tell you what it is coming up on The Drive. Back in on The Drive, Carrington here, Spector here. Fanning is out today. Sports Machine Sean Levine is in.
Hello.
And even though Sports Machine Sean Levine isn't on this show, when he's here, he gets equal treatment. So if you got a take, if you got an opinion, I don't pull rank. If you got a good sports take, I'm letting you give it. So I'm a little upset with myself for allowing you to do this next segment. But you know what? Fair is fair. We vote on this show. It is a democracy. It is not a dictatorship. I am not Coach Herman Boone. I think this might be one of your worst takes imaginable. But I got to let you give it. I'm going to step aside.
You really built that up. Before I get into it.
I told you I set you up. I said, yo, I got you. I'll set you up.
Thanks, buddy.
I mean, I set you up.
You're my
dude. I mean, I
really are.
I alley-ooped it for you.
You're like the opposite of a wingman when I go out. Like,
my bad.
Hey, did you hear about my buddy who's got back from the doctor, got bad news? Like, thanks, dude. I don't think I'm taking her home.
I'm actually walking up to the girls and telling them that you're unemployed. Like, yo, he don't work. You know that? You didn't know that?
So true. So true. By the way, before we get into this, it only makes sense because last night was the NBA draft, and next week the Uncle Drew movie comes out. Any interest whatsoever, guys, in going to see that film?
No? I would go see it for free, but it does look like a Redbox original.
Spec, you going to see it for free?
If you handed me $20 to go, I wouldn't go.
I'd do it for $20, but I'm not going for free. Anyway, I came up with my own starting five fictional basketball movie characters, and it was difficult to limit this list because there have been so many greats. For example, how do you leave Jesus Shuttlesworth off the list? Well, I did.
You don't. Right?
He got game, great movie. As far as basketball actors go, what was he, like a high school senior? Ray Allen, he actually did a pretty good job. He chose his dad's school. He went to Big State U. But he's still not my shooting guard. My shooting guard has got to be Scott Howard from the movie Teen Wolf.
Ooh.
I mean, okay. The guy had a jump shot.
Your point guard.
He could dunk.
Teen Wolf.
He could dribble.
Scott Howard. All right. That's your point guard.
By the way, my team is a little bit white guy heavy, I realized as we roll on, but I continue.
No, I was going to let you flourish, and we'll get to that.
Speaking of white guys, I think the best basketball movie of all time, White Men Can't Jump. It was difficult to decide who I wanted on my team because, let's face it, if you're playing a game of two-on-two, you want both those dudes. But I had to go with Billy Hoyle.
Don't worry, Sidney. I've hustled a hell of a lot better players than you before. Don't put up no brick.
Let me ask you a question.
Uh-huh. That's a good backcourt, dude. Billy Hoyle and Teen Wolf?
You took White Men Can't Jump is a movie based on two-on-two basketball,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah.
You then had the ability to take either guy, and you took the worst of the two players. That's what you did to create your team? You took the worst of the two players?
Better jumper.
No one watches that show, that movie, and thinks that Billy Hoyle is a better basketball player than Sidney Dean. If you
more clutch. He was more clutch, and he's got a better jump shot, and that's what I'm looking for. Because wait till you hear the rest of my team. I like my mix. First of all, I've got a shooter. I've got a wolf. I continue, and I know you're not really going to like this one because
you're basically out here creating BYU.
Not much
that's
of an
basically the team you have. You have BYU. You have Butler. That's who your team is. Butler.
Speaking of, guys, how awesome was it?
You got a white point guard and a white shooting guard on your team.
How great was it that Grayson Allen ended up with the Utah Jazz? Like, did we all know that that was going to happen? I don't know if he knew it was going to happen, but I think we all knew that it was going to happen. As I continue my white basketball team theme, he's a little bit bigger. He's more of a swing man, and what impresses me is he's never thrown up in his entire life. From the movie Semi-Pro, I'm talking about Jackie Moon.
Have you ever been punched in the jejunum?
No, what's the jejunum?
It's part of the small intestine.
So right now you have a white point guard, a white shooting guard, and a white small forward.
Yeah, and I'm not sure it gets a whole lot better because
you have created Gonzaga.
The next guy,
you
a
got
lot of
Dan Dickow.
Are going
you got
to
Adam
forget.
Morrison.
Like, a lot of people want to throw in Air Bud, for example, right? Because an athlete, Spector pointed out, he's going to put butts in the seats. I mean, he was also Air Bud wide receiver, so you're talking about a two-sport athlete,
I mean, to be fair, Air Bud, he might be the most athletic guy on your team.
doesn't make my team, as a matter of fact. Jimmy Chitwood doesn't make my team. None of the Monstars make my team. But you know who does? This guy had one of the sickest crossovers of all time that nobody ever talks about. Yeah, they want to talk about his music. They want to talk about Purple Rain. They want to talk about his death a couple of years ago. Nobody talks about how sick he was on the court. Yes, I'm talking about Prince.
How about you and your friends versus me and the revolution?
So right now your team is lacking athleticism and height. Prince is 4'11".
And a dead guy.
Yeah, but he wore velvet and still bowled up the entire crew. So what, we've got Prince.
I know where you got those
Jackie
clothes.
Jackie Moons.
And it damn sure wasn't the men's department.
And Billy Hoyle, and I have to have a big guy, and I have to have a brother, right?
Makes a mean flat jack.
It wouldn't
jack,
be a basketball team, so I guess.
You got a dead brother.
From the air up there, because I need a center, I got to have Saleh.
You come halfway around the world to see me play this basketball?
And I thought about, because I needed a swing man, woman, man, having Juwanna man on the team. But
who are you, Adolph Rupp? You ain't got no brothers on your team. What kind of team is this?
Juwanna man didn't make it. Who'd I miss? I probably should have got Shaq, right, Speck? Right, from Blue Chips.
I mean, Neon
Blue Chips
needs to be on there.
Yeah, that was pretty egregious.
Can I just ask you? I just
this is the
want
worst
to ask a question.
By the way, coach by Coach Carter. Actually, let me.
Don't try to have a black coach now.
I'm not going to. As a matter of fact, I'm going to have a white coach. I want Dick Butkus from the show Hang Time to be my coach. All right.
This is the worst.
Not even Reggie Theus. Dick
this
Butkus
might
is my coach.
Be the worst.
That's a
team
squad right there.
I've ever.
I bet
seen.
They knock down their free throws though. Jimmy Chitwood didn't make the team. The girl from Hang Time actually had a pretty good jump shot, too. I'm not going to see him.
I mean,
I should have probably.
I just want to understand how you created a fictional basketball team with no black people.
That was a poor job on my part.
I just want to understand how Kyle Watson can't start at point. I want to understand how Jesus Shuttlesworth couldn't make the team.
I got Teen Wolf. I can't have too many guards.
I just want to understand how Sidney Dean couldn't make this starting five. I want to understand how Butch McRae couldn't make this roster.
I want to understand how they finally decide to make another basketball movie, and they decide of all the marketable athletes that they have in the NBA, and there's a lot of them. I would say the NBA has more marketable players than anybody else.
You've created Evansville. That's the team you have. You have a good
no
Mo
love
Valley
for the Aces?
Team is what
no
you
love
have
for the Evansville Aces?
You have a good Mo Valley team.
But how do you make
you
a movie
put together?
You can do it about any athlete you want. You make it about Kyrie Irving. I know he's Uncle Drew, but to me, just not that marketable. Not that appealing.
Kyrie Irving.
Not that funny. He probably should have made my team over Teen Wolf. I'll give you that.
Kyrie Irving is really popular with young kids. Like, really, really popular.
More popular than James Harden? More popular than LeBron James?
I think he's more popular than James Harden is. The handle and the shoes. Man, those shoes matter, man. I'm telling you, ask next time you're around some 17-year-old kids, ask them about Kyrie Irving. They talk about him like he's Kobe. These kids, I'm telling you, they love Kyrie Irving. No, it makes a lot of sense. Text line 69306, an all-white team is the ultimate fictional team. That's real.
That's what I'm saying. It was fictional, right?
That's I just want to know how you could have drafted any basketball players and you picked five white guys.
The only one
I
really regret. I
just want to understand how you have five Saleh white guys.
Saleh is very much a brother, okay? So I had four white guys.
I mean, somebody's saying that Michael Irvin from the Longest Yard would have been a great power forward on your team.
He would have.
He would have been a
I already had Jackie Moon.
He would have been a good stretch four for your roster.
You sound like a guy that's never been punched in the jejunum.
He would have been a good stretch for Jackie Moon.
You don't even know where the jejunum is.
Who is he guarding?
It's next to the duodenum.
You're telling me on my team. You're telling me on my team I got Jesus Shuttlesworth and you've got Jackie Moon.
Have you ever been punching the jejunum?
No, what's the jejunum?
Yeah, he's got a sick jump shot. And his defense is fine, by the way.
Okay.
I'm not saying he's shutting down Jesus Shuttlesworth, but I bet he keeps him to 15 to 20.
All right. Well, I mean, I'm telling you, Jesus Shuttlesworth.
I got Saleh down low.
Jesus Shuttlesworth is giving Jackie Moon 30 ball is what he's giving him. He's giving him a 30 ball in this game.
Not a chance.
Easy 30 ball.
Bro, I got Teen Wolf on the squad. I'm not worried about it.
Coming up on the other side, Michael Porter Jr. made us think of, aside from Bo Jackson, what is our biggest sports what if? We'll tell you coming up on the draft.
With the 14th pick in the 2018 NBA Draft, the Denver Nuggets select Michael Porter Jr. from the University of Missouri.
Back in on the drive, am I the only one that had Aaron Rodgers, Brady Quinn vibes yesterday watching the NBA Draft? It certainly had that feel when it came to Michael Porter Jr.
I felt horrible for the kid. It looked like a roadkill. You just kind of turn around and look at him and you're like, oh, Good. I can't even look at it.
Because if you remember, Aaron Rodgers, there was conversations before the draft. It was between Alex Smith and Aaron Rodgers being the number one overall pick to the San Francisco 49ers. Aaron Rodgers, Southern California kid, went to Cal. So it would have made a lot of sense if the Niners drafted number one overall. They took Alex Smith. They passed on him. And then Aaron Rodgers continued to drop and continued to drop and continued to drop. And then he got selected in the 20s. Same thing happened to Brady Quinn. Brady Quinn, highly touted, coming out of Notre Dame. And he sat down. Everybody remembers the video of Brady Quinn kind of sitting there, and then he eventually gets taken. I had a same kind of feeling yesterday when it came to Michael Porter. This is what Jay Billups and Chauncey Billups had to say about Michael Porter, and they threw out a big NBA comparison.
Well, I do think we're right in saying that he has the ability on the offensive end of a number one overall pick. He's a very gifted athlete, very fluid at 6'10 with a 7-foot wingspan and very skilled. But where he really excels is shooting the basketball. A very high release. He can elevate on his shot. He picks and pops to three-point range. He does have the ability to defend with his wingspan and athleticism. There have been questions about his toughness. Obviously, at 14, you're never going to get a player of this caliber unless there are question marks, and the question mark being his back and his health long term. But if the Nuggets have satisfied themselves that that's not a problem, they very well could have gotten a steal here.
And listen, guys, I'm going to assume that he's healthy, and if he is, it reminds me of a young Kevin Durant. I mean, great length, beautiful jump shot, can score off of the dribble. You put him in the mid-post area or the elbow area, he's a nightmare to guard, and he has a passion to score the basketball, similar to KD.
So obviously I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Michael Porter is going to be Kevin Durant. I think Kevin Durant, by the time he's done, could be one of the 15 greatest basketball players that have ever played. But for me, and people who have seen Michael Porter when he was healthy playing high school, he is going to be one of my big what-ifs. See Michael Porter play in person at least 6 times. He is a fantastic basketball player that I am fearful that we will never get to see a healthy Michael Porter, never get to see him reach his potential, never get to see him hit the ceiling of what I think he could have been in the NBA.
So real quick, with the back injury and now knowing the team that he's going to play on, do you think it's more likely he turns into Brady Quinn or Aaron Rodgers?
I would say Brady Quinn just based on the injury. I think it's certainly more likely that things don't work out, especially given the injury concerns. If the billionaire teams with their medical staffs have really gone over his medical records with a fine-tuned comb, and so many teams passed
on, and nobody traded up,
it tells me that they know something that I don't know when it comes to Michael Porter, and that the likeliness that he ends up being a Greg Oden is way higher than I thought it was going to be. So I think by the end of Porter's career, he could end up being my biggest what if. Like, I don't have the Bo Jackson what if the way a lot of people did. I'm 29 years old. I just wasn't alive when the Bo Jackson thing really happened. So he's not the what if for me. So I was thinking of what's my local what if besides Bo Jackson, because that's the one I think everyone makes, or what's my national one. My local what if would be the 2012 NFL draft. The Kansas City Chiefs were on the board in the third round. And with pick 74, they selected offensive tackle out of Oklahoma, Donald Stevenson. You want to know who had the following pick?
Mm-hmm.
The Seattle Seahawks. They drafted a quarterback. Guess who that quarterback ended up being?
Who's that?
Russell Wilson.
I know him.
Two-time NFC champion, Super Bowl champion Russell Wilson, and in my opinion, future Hall of Fame quarterback Russell Wilson. Man, what if? What if we could just flip-flop those one picks, and then you give the Chiefs a future Hall of Fame quarterback with Andy Reid? I think they won a Super Bowl with Russell Wilson as their quarterback. So if you're asking me locally what's my biggest what if, what if we could flip-flop the 2012 NFL draft, and instead of drafting Donald Stevenson, they can just flip-flop with Seattle, who picked one pick behind them, and take Russell Wilson, quarterback, out of Wisconsin.
My local what-if, and things ended up working out great for this trade that the Royals pulled off, but I still have always wondered, what if Zach Greinke had remained in a Royals uniform? What if Zach Greinke had remained healthy, happy, optimistic, and was part of the Royals when they were making their run? Now, you could argue that's impossible because they needed Lorenzo Cain, and they needed Alcides Escobar, and I would say that you're right. But if you look at Zach Greinke's numbers in Kansas City, he was 60-67. Okay, don't go by the record because he played for a bunch of crappy teams. But since then, he's 70 games over 500 with an ERA around 2.5. I just wonder what that would have looked like in a Royals uniform all these years.
Spec, what's your local what if?
Text line right now is saying local what if. It for me is what if Jamal Charles had stayed healthy the whole time? He'd be a Hall of Famer.
That's a good one.
Another one says, how about in 2003, the Chiefs selected Larry Johnson and they passed on Troy Polamalu. Someone else also brings up Albert Pujols, which is certainly a really good what if. It's not like the Royals didn't have the ability to go see Albert Pujols play in high school or in college.
Certainly community college, yeah, at that.
Certainly a big miss for the Royals.
I always lean Chiefs with this because that's kind of where my heart is as opposed to Royals. I always wonder what happens if Justin Houston stays healthy these last 3 years. Because he got that big contract after 20-plus sacks in 14, and he hasn't been the same in 15, 16, 17. He would probably be right behind Derek Thomas in all-time Chiefs sack leaders. I think he'd pass Tamba, and I think we'd be talking about Justin Houston as one of the greatest 10 Chiefs of all time if he continued on, but he just has not stayed healthy these last 3 seasons.
What if Bob the Hammer Hamlin didn't completely disappear and walk off the face of planet Earth? What if?
Text line 69306. What if we draft Mike Trout instead of Aaron Crow? Certainly can't fault you on that one. Obviously, the draft in which the Chiefs got Todd Blackledge, that was a great quarterback class. I think calling it a great quarterback class is kind of underselling how great that class would have been. Text line 69306. I think for a lot of people, their what if is Lynn Elliott. I certainly think that Chiefs team goes to the Super Bowl if Lynn Elliott is a little bit better at kicking field goals.
And I think it was the year before that they had cut Nick Lowry, a guy that all he did was make field goals. He was always accurate. I can't ever remember him missing a big field goal. And then the Chiefs decide, eh, it's just a kicker, whatever. We'll go with Lynn Elliott, and we all know how that worked out.
I'd be really curious to know what you guys' national what-ifs are, because mine is Penny Hardaway. Like, maybe I have glamorized the Penny Hardaway
era. Little Penny? You can't guard me. The Secret Service can't guard me.
But I think back to Penny Hardaway's career. I think Penny Hardaway had like top five point guard all time potential. And then injury after injury after injury. Like, I think like every generation basketball player kind of has that one player. Like, so for me, it's Penny Hardaway. For maybe somebody who's a little bit younger than me, they feel that way about Derrick Rose. And Derrick Rose is the youngest MVP in the history of the NBA. And then his body just fell apart at that point. But the national what if for me is always going to be Penny Hardaway.
You just blew my mind, because Penny Hardaway is Derrick Rose, as Derrick Rose is Penny Hardaway.
Same person.
They're the same guy. They were around 5 or 6 years. They were elite for a second. They got that big-time contract. What was the Chris Rock? What were they selling there? Do you remember?
Nike. Shoes.
Oh, that was Nike. Yeah, Nike. And then, of course, Derrick Rose got like a $100 million deal from Adidas, which is insane. Mine is Ken Griffey Jr. Think about this. He's obviously first ballot Hall of Famer. His dad played in the league, had a great career, hit almost 600 home runs, won the MVP, 14-time All-Star. What's that moment? What's that game? What do we really remember? I guess it's when he turned his hat around and hit all the home runs in the home run derby. He was a great center fielder, maybe the all-time great center fielder in his prime. He hit for power. He ran well. He was the ultimate five-tool player, and he did it when he was young, man. Talk about everywhere you went in the early 1990s, everybody was rocking that sweet old Seattle Mariners hat. But he never really did anything. He never went to the World Series, which means he never won the World Series. So when you think back to Ken Griffey Jr., I would argue that he's a top 10 all-time Major League Baseball player. But what's that moment that you really remember?
And you're right, from Ken Griffey Jr., I think if he doesn't get injured, he's certainly in the conversation for the greatest baseball player of all time. That was the trajectory that his career was at. Text line 69306, what if Tiger's back never goes out? Very fair question. What if Tiger is just a faithful husband? Like, I think that's a fair question to ask, too. Like, if everything in his personal life hadn't happened with Tiger Woods, I do wonder what we're talking about. And I think maybe calling him the greatest athlete of all time. Someone on the text line says, what if the Blazers draft Michael Jordan? Certainly changes the history of the NBA.
What if Doc Gooden didn't start smoking crack? Imagine how good he could have been.
And this is a little bit of probably recency bias, but what if Kyrie and Kevin Love don't get hurt in the 15 finals?
Mm-hmm.
KD may not be going to the Warriors. LeBron has number 4, and the Warriors are not the Warriors that we know right now. I mean, KD going to the Warriors has changed the whole structure of the NBA, and I'm not sure that happens if Kyrie and Kevin Love stay healthy in the 15 playoffs.
I can give you two other really good what-ifs when it comes to the NBA. I think we look at LeBron's career as a little bit of a disappointment if Ray Allen misses that jump shot. Only having 2 rings, the Heat experiment isn't looked at the way that it is if they don't win that game. I think you can also say, what if Klay Thompson doesn't have an incredible game in game six of the Western Conference Finals? If Klay Thompson doesn't play arguably the best game of his career, Kevin Durant goes to the NBA Finals, probably doesn't go to Golden State. That certainly changes what happens with LeBron.
Yeah, like, if you want to play that game, what if the Seattle Seahawks decide to run the football and Tom Brady doesn't have another Super Bowl?
Fair point.
So if you're starting to break down the all-time greats, that's why sometimes when we start to talk about a championship, like, well, the Chiefs have all of the pieces to win a championship. Hang on. Let's just host a playoff game, get to maybe win an AFC championship game before you start talking about winning a championship. Because not only do you have to be, thanks, Fizziak, really, really good, but you got to be really lucky.
I think we've seen from the Royals, it takes a certain combination of drafting correctly, making the right free agency moves, guys being healthy at the right time, and guys playing their best whatever sport it is at the same time.
I think it's a little easier, though, Sarge Beck, for like the Chiefs. They can miss on a couple of guys. They can miss on a free agent. They can miss in the draft, and they can still be really good. That's what was so impressive what the Royals did. They basically, Dayton specifically, had to hit on every draft move, every free agent, every single trade. If not, he was going to get passed up by a bigger market team, and damn it if he didn't.
If Correa fields the ground ball that he has done 99.5 out of 100 times.
It's over.
It's over.
It's over.
And we're talking about the Royals 14 and 15 very differently.
I mean,
simple ground, a one-hop ground ball with Kendrys Morales running. That's probably that may be the greatest Kansas City what-if, actually, because that directly led to a championship.
I think that's probably a greater what-if. I guess maybe not, because we know they end up losing. Probably more so than what if Gordon runs. I feel pretty confident to know in Game 7 of the World Series, if Gordon tries to stress that out, that he gets thrown out at home plate.
I still like
some
to see
of you,
it.
Yeah, some of you may disagree. Salvador Perez, all of us had visions of the wild card game. I was pretty confident that Salvi was going to get a hit in that scenario. It just didn't happen. Coming up on the other side, there is a news story. I want to ask you guys, what would you do in this scenario that I know some of you will lie about? I'll tell you what it is coming up on the draft. Back in on the drive, Carrington here, Spectre here, Sports Machine here, taking you up until 6 o'clock. Coming up at 4, we will get into Pick a Player. Pick a Player coming up at 4 o'clock. We'll give you a chance to win a pair of Royals tickets coming up at 4 o'clock. Also in the 4 o'clock hour, we'll get back into Michael Porter Jr. And we got to talk about the KU players. Some KU players got drafted as well. They deserve their time in the sun as well.
Yeah,
we'll
some didn't also. Malik Newman, what are you doing, bro?
We're going to talk about that coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. I want to ask you guys this question because I feel a lot of times people lie. Whenever it's time to be honest about how scary or not scary you'd be in a situation, people get a little dishonest with the truth. So there's a gentleman in New York. His car is not running. So he's thinking, like most of us, if your car doesn't run, let me try to go get a jump. Let me jump start the battery. He then raises the hood. There is a rattlesnake in his hood. A rattlesnake. Not a little garden snake. As you can maybe kind of dust aside a little bit. There is a rattlesnake in the hood. I don't know about you guys. I don't want that car anymore. I'm out of here. No thanks.
I'm not going to ditch the car because of a rattlesnake.
That is that rattlesnake's car at that moment.
No. I'm not sure exactly what I would do in said situation, but probably the rational thing to me, guy that drives a 97 Accord, and I'm not giving that car up that easy. I mean, that's a classic, man. 288,000 miles on that bad boy. Rattlesnake in the car. I'm not going to say that I'm going to move the rattlesnake. I'm probably going to call one of my bigger, brawnier friends to move the rattlesnake. Or maybe I can get a stick to move the thing. But I'm sure as hell not giving up the car, because something tells me once you remove the snake, the car's going to run fine.
Yeah, you guys know me.
You found the issue, man.
You guys know me when it comes to animals, when it comes to rodents. I don't mess around with it. I had a mouse in my apartment, and I damn near moved out of it. And I was like, you know what, Mickey? You can have this apartment when it comes to this. A lot of you know that you would do the same thing.
I'd rather have a rattlesnake under my hood than a bad timing belt. I'm not even trying to be funny here. I would rather open the hood and realize, oh, damn, this thing is mean. It looks like it wants to kill me. And then just do something about it as long as my car's all right.
See, I would be terrified for the rest of my life. Every single time I had that car, because at some point, you might have the nicest car in the world. At some point, you got to get underneath the hood.
Something happens to your car for whatever reason. You got to lift up the hood and you got to look underneath it. And maybe you're like me, you do that just to feel like a man and you don't really know what's going on, but it feels like a manly thing to do. Like, maybe you grab your flashlight, maybe you grab your phone and you shine a little light so you can see. Yeah, you feel like a man when you're doing it. You're sitting there checking your car's
fluid. The washer fluid's good.
Word to my people over at O'Reilly Auto Parts. So you do that and you feel like a man. If I lifted up the hood and there was not a small snake, not like a cricket, it was a whole rattlesnake. A, I'd be wondering how he got there. This guy wasn't in Arizona. He was in upstate New York.
Really?
I didn't even know rattlesnakes existed in upstate New York.
And because that happens, you think that the next week, the next year, 10 years down the line, he's going to go lift his hood and there's going to be another snake? That's completely irrational thinking.
I don't know. Text line 69306. All I can say is if they got it on video, I would be getting calls from NFL teams asking about my 40 time. Exactly.
You do know in Texas, this happens like 5 times a year, a rattlesnake ends up going through the tubes in the toilet system and ends up biting someone in the ass, whether on the crapper. You just going to not go to the bathroom anymore?
I think about that every time. I think about that. You guys think I'm joking. If I walk into a bathroom and I see that the seat is all the way down and the lid's all the way down, I assume somebody didn't flush or when I open it up, there's going to be an animal in there. You think I'm joking? I am 100% serious. If I walk in a bathroom and I see the lid is down, I assume somebody didn't flush or there is going to be an animal that jumps up and bites me in the ass.
Look, bro,
I assume that's going to be the case.
That's so irrational. I have a fear of public bathrooms also just because they're, what's the word I'm looking for here? Disgusting, absolutely awful, kind of like a hotel room. Start to do the math, you know, like 365 days in a year. Let's say it's a brand new bed. Let's say the hotel is only filled half the time. What's that? A person sleeping in this bed that you're about to sleep in 180 times out of the year? I don't know why I brought up that example, just for the fact that public bathrooms are disgusting. I'm in fear of them, but not at all because of snakes, just because they're really nasty.
I can't really blame you for that either. Yesterday, it was a really, really good interview. Now, I'm not in the business of telling you to turn off our show, listen to somebody else's show, but if you're a fan of sports talk radio, you need to listen to the Colin Cowherd and Baker Mayfield interview yesterday. It is really the perfect blend of someone who's really good at his job and asking questions and someone who is really, really honest and going to answer the questions and is going to push back on the interviewer. It was a really, really good interview. There was something that I found in there that was really interesting that relates to the Chiefs. Colin Cowherd was basically asking Baker Mayfield, you're small. How do you translate to the league? And Baker Mayfield answered the question. I think if you're a Chiefs fan, you want to hear this answer.
I'm 6'1 and a half, buck 94. Now, you're a bigger, thicker kid than me, but we're about the same size. Historically, the numbers say 6'3 and up are your Hall of Famers. Is that an unfair?
No, that's fair.
By the way.
But today's game is different than Hall of Famers.
How?
It's faster. It's not nearly as physical. You see more teams reverting to some of the screen game, you watch the Eagles and you watch the Chiefs, you watch the Rams play. There's a lot of what do you call it? RPOs.
Right.
You have options on your run plays to throw the ball. You're trying to make a defense wrong by numbers. It's not just your typical call play, right, smash mouth football. It's just different. So you don't need a guy that's 6'5 to sit behind in the pocket and sit there every down and throw. You need somebody that's going to be able to manage the team, make those guys around him better. It doesn't matter the size. When it comes to that, all of that's out the window. And just be able to get a W.
There's a lot of different ways we can go about this. We're kind of up against the break. I think a very, very simple question is, do you think Patrick Mahomes can do that? We saw the way Alex Smith used the RPOs and the run-pass option, and he was a master with it. I certainly think Mahomes is going to do it. I think he's mobile enough. But he talks about being able to get the ball out of your hands quickly, make guys around you better, manage the game a little bit. The question for the Chiefs, and obviously they believe he's going to be able to do it, is do you think that Patrick Mahomes can do it? Because I think at the core of what Mayfield is saying, you can't watch the NFL and disagree. It's certainly easier to play quarterback now than it was before. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's certainly easier, and the game has been watered down enough, and the rules have been watered down enough, and the offenses have been watered down enough that more people can play quarterback than could play maybe 1995. You certainly can't complete a higher percentage of passes today than you could. I just found that really interesting to hear what Baker Mayfield say, that I agree with them. I don't know if height, I don't know if size matters as much playing quarterback now because they have dumbed down the rules so much.
They certainly have, which could kind of be an argument for why the Chiefs should have kept Alex Smith around for another year, because if he was anything, he was intelligent. That's the exact reason why I'm so excited for Patrick Mahomes. And last night, We were doing Arrowhead Pride Radio, by the way, every Thursday from 6 to 7 right here on 610 Sports Radio. And I was talking about Travis Kelce and how once he gets in the red zone, he's good, but he's not great, which doesn't make a lot of sense because he's got the size. He's a great route runner. He has the hands. He should be the best pass catcher in the red zone. And it was pointed out that might actually not be on Travis Kelce. That might be more on Alex Smith. And I thought, actually, yeah, that's probably true. Alex didn't give him as many choices because he didn't try to throw the ball in as many tight spots. As Chiefs fans, we're going to, it's going to take a while. It's going to be uncomfortable because Alex Smith was the ultimate great decision maker and didn't throw the ball away. See that? I just wonder how long it's going to take us as Chiefs fans for Patrick Mahomes to make a couple of dumb mistakes, maybe to cost the team a game, for the fans to come out around the water cooler, on the radio here at 610 and say, man, if we just had a ball protector behind center.
Coming up on the other side, we need four callers, 913-576-7610. We need four callers, 913-576-7610. You know what time it is. It's Friday at 4 o'clock, so that means pick a player. Today's winner of pick a player wins a pair of Royals and Red Sox tickets. So if you're trying to go to Kauffman Stadium, call up right now. It's the drive.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.